is what simple living is about. This is what community living is about. This is what living in a semi-arid environment is.
In this episode, you'll hear about the Sunseed Desert Project, a small sustainable community in the semi-arid environment of southern Spain. Hi, I'm Karina Basket. Wandering Nature is a travelogue of nature, culture, science, and sustainability. There are many, many different techniques and methods to live more sustainably, depending on where you are and what your community is like. In this episode, I'll focus on profiling a sustainability project where I volunteered for 3 weeks this June. Sunseed is a community in the south of Spain that develops and teaches low-tech methods of sustainable living.
Our long-term goal is pretty much what we've been doing for the past 25 years, is teaching sustainability and teaching good planting and good growing techniques of regreening the desert.
Jeff Carrick is the current project manager of Sunseed. He says that the project started as an experimental ground for reforesting the desert.
Sunseed was set up 25 years ago by a small group of people who used to work in England called Green Deserts. And it was a very small group, two or three people. It just escalated from there. They were doing research in Africa and Australia, and then in Spain, in Mexico. They were looking for actual land to practice their desert skills, all the information that they acquired over the time, and they wanted to practice it in a more of a suitable environment. They needed a place, and so they were searching in Europe. Came across this as an abandoned village, which is Los Molinos here.
There is a small staff, and everyone else is a volunteer. The volunteers come from all over the world, but mainly Europe, and they stay for a few weeks or a few months. Andy Thompson, a volunteer from England, describes a typical day.
You get woken up, which is cool because you don't have to set an alarm. You then get out of bed, get ready, have breakfast at about 8 o'clock, which is nice all together. It's definitely community living. Everybody's there. Then at 8:30, the announcements are made as to what is going to happen that day. Everybody chooses what they would like to do. You then go off and do your whatever you've chosen to do, or you may be cooking, and then there's a break at mid-morning, and then you carry on working after the break, and then you come back for lunch. If you're a part-time volunteer, that's it for the day, which is great. And then you can do whatever you want. If you're a full-time volunteer, you then head off and do your project, your chosen project. And then, dinner, I don't know, around 8 o'clock-ish. Again, everybody comes together. Then the evening is your own.
Many volunteers spend the afternoons and evenings hiking or cooling off in one of several natural river pools.
It's a very beautiful spot. It's an oasis in the desert because there is this year-round river and springs that breathe life into what would be, because there's no agriculture around here, practically, dead area. It's that much of a desert. But it has its own beauty in many ways.
Sunseed is 4 miles from the nearest town of Sorbas, but it isn't totally isolated. It's situated in a small village called Los Molinos.
Los Molinos is a small village with around about 20 to 25 people living here year out. The whole village is dedicated to a lower impact of living. We're completely off-grid, the whole village, off-grid of electricity, off-grid of water, so we do our own systems. The rest of the village, we have various people, mainly English and German, with a few dotted Spaniards still living in the village. It's like an oasis in the desert with flowering trees all year round. We have fruit all year round. We have food all year round. Although we don't produce 100% of our food, we subsidize that with other organic farmers around here. It's a great opportunity for people to come and enjoy nature in the desert. Most people see desert as a desolate and stark, but if people would come to Los Molinos, they would find out for themselves that it doesn't have to be like that. It just needs to be very, very organized and patient to basically make the desert greener again.
Can I ask you guys what you're doing?
Flash weeding.
We're weeding everything which is hopefully apart from basil, carrots and tomatoes. Have you seen any basil? Not yet.
Not where we were weeding.
Oh yeah,
not
no,
that
you
I know.
Didn't, you didn't have any tomatoes because they grow with tomatoes. They like complement each other and the basil like repels the insects that would go for the tomatoes. So they and it's probably also like as regards the mineral and nutrition intake or the roots. Like one of them probably spreads out and one down, or that's usually one of the reasons like for companion planting.
Wow. So not only in cooking but also in the garden that they go really
yeah,
well together.
That's what we were laughing about actually. Yeah. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
But we ran out of basil plants, so not all the tomatoes have got basil plants.
Do you guys like working in the garden?
I love it. Yeah. It's like my home, my second home, I suppose.
I yeah. couldn't do it all the time, but I like the chance that with flesh weeding once a week, twice yeah. a week, you have to. So I get in the garden, because otherwise I would always be like translating or cooking or something. So it makes me come out in the garden, which I do actually like.
It was nice. I find this very therapeutic to pull out weeds.
To see what you can pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just you can chat. It's quite chilled out.
I think it's a really good way for people to like learn where their food is coming from, the different season. Even in a month, you might see a big difference. Like there wouldn't be any tomatoes, and then a month later, there's a little tomato there, and it's coming and it's getting bigger. And also because we all have to cook here, so it's kind of overwhelming if you're told to cook for 20 something people and you don't know where everything is. So it's a good way yeah. to learn where the certain plants and
you have to learn what the plants look
are.
Like
yeah.
as well, because
yeah.
you don't want to be weeding out the tomatoes, for example.
Or so. Like serving up weeds for dinner,
for lunch,
although
yeah.
like you learn here also like
you can
to
eat
use
anything.
Everything. Like I never knew about using carrot stalks in salad
yeah.
before.
They're not bad.
So,
they're
yeah.
not bad.
And they're actually quite tasty, although you do need something else with it, as we found out. Who was that? Me and Tanya. Yeah. There was no salad left, so we just used all carrot stalks, which I'd advise nobody to do, but they're good, like, for a bit of a taste, because they're a really strong
yeah.
taste. So, yeah, it's also a good way to bring everybody together as well. I'm Kira.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Courtney.
Thank you.
I'm doing some flesh weeding.
What's that?
What's that I lived all the weeds on the bed? Oh, look at that.
Ooh.
She's green. How do you call it again?
A ladybug.
A ladybird. And I think that it's a sort of ladybird.
Mm.
I like walking the garden just for that.
That was volunteer Lucy Alain. Later, she talked to me about her experience at Sunseed. She is about halfway through a 6-month stay.
I'm here for doing a volunteer time. Before coming here in Sunseed, I was a volunteer in Friends of the Earth in the north of Spain. Doing an EVS. EVS is European Voluntary Service. And it was nice, but I was not satisfied enough because I didn't have any mission in particular. I had a lot of time, which it was good. So, yeah, I discovered this the organization in a newspaper in Spain. And I was lucky because I find another money from Europe. And I'm here for 6 months.
What project are you working on?
So basically, when I was in Friends of the Earth in Galicia, I study for my own water management because I find a good web page about that and I find some contact with the professor who write this web page and these ideas. So I'm here to put it in practice, and concretely it's about contain rainwater and how use it for everything, and how to recycle our used water. And the third idea is the dry toilet, good dry toilet. So I'm just here to put it in practice, this idea, to communicate about that.
So far in your experience here, would you say that you are accomplishing your goals of learning and putting into practice better water management?
Yes and no, because I don't have such... First, I'm not a specialist, and I miss somebody to help me. I do what I can, but I know that I will not change the water management here. But at the end, my goals are accomplished. In terms of, I learn a lot here, and I share a lot, and I have the occasion to know better myself. Not only I make good relationship, it's not only that, but I feel more connected with human beings and with nature, which is the reason why I'm here at the end.
What do you dislike about Sunseed?
Finally, after 2 months and a half, I can discover that everything is temporary. So you do things, but it's not for large term. And you start to meet people and they're leaving.
What sort of person would enjoy Sunseed or get a lot of benefit out of Sunseed? And then what sort of person would not like it here?
Some people are not able, or they don't like the community way of life. I think that it's the most important here, because we share everything. We have the bell for the times, we have the rules, because we need to be quite organized.
Is there anything that I've forgotten to ask? Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, maybe if I project myself after this period. Because sometimes I ask me if I imagine myself living in a community, and not really. It's a good parenthesis for me, but I need to have more control of my own organization. And maybe I imagine myself living like in eco-villages or something like this, but I would like to have my own house, my own family. But I like the idea to sharing the garden, for example, to sharing the cars, to manage our energy together. But yeah, ideally, I imagine more myself in my own space.
Andy Thompson, who we heard a bit from at the beginning, isn't here for quite as long, but he has had experience with similar volunteer posts. How long have you been at Sunseed, and how long are you planning to be here?
I've been here a week, and I will stay for at least 3 more weeks.
Why did you come to Sunseed?
I have been woofing on and off the last 2 or 3 summers, and I'm always interested in visiting eco-villages. And some sort of jump out at you more than others when you do a quick web search. And this time Sunseed just was like obvious and it sounded interesting. I was in the south of France, so it wasn't too far away.
And can you just say what woofing is for listeners who don't know, and then kind of compare woofing to Sunseed?
Woofing, it stands for, depending upon who you ask, willing workers on organic farms or worldwide opportunities on organic farms. It is a global organization, I guess it's a charity, where anybody who is willing to put in X amount of hours per day, per week, can live for free at a farm or an alternative community or at somebody's small holding even. There's a whole range. Traditionally it was just organic farms, but it has expanded now to other things. I think the way that it differs from here is that there's less choice in what you do, because maybe there's less variety in a small farm, that this is what they need to do today, and everybody goes and does it. At Sunseed, it's announced what is available to do that day, and you can then choose what you would like to do. So it does differ that way, and it differs financially, that you do pay to be here. Mm-hmm. As opposed to woofing, there is never any financial aspect to it. It's always free on both sides.
What sort of person do you think you'd recommend to come to Sunseed, and someone who wouldn't enjoy Sunseed?
You have to be open-minded, definitely, willing to experience new things done in different ways. You have to be flexible. If you're not, you're going to struggle. It's just as simple as that, because it's very, very simple living here. The diet, as much as I love it, somebody coming to here who's an out-and-out carnivore that is used to anything, anytime, anywhere, whatever, are going to struggle from that point of view. From my experience of living in other communities, food becomes a big thing. Mm. It becomes a really big deal, and people start freaking out a little bit when they know that they can't get this little thing that they always have, or that little thing that they always have, and suddenly people get a bit twitchy, and you're like, wow, food. And yeah, it's amazing to see the effect it has on all our lives and how we're really ruled by it. And you can pare away many other things and you're always left with food. Mm. And yeah, it becomes very fundamental to a community and to groups of people. So it's not like super difficult or anything. And yes, we're all living inside buildings and we have good food, albeit simple and vegetarian, but it's still good food.
What was your expectations when you arrived?
I think it was roughly what I expected. I wasn't. There's nothing here that I've been like shocked by at all. It's just, yeah, this is what simple living is about. This is what community living is about. This is what living in a semi-arid environment is. Yeah, I wasn't surprised, but I think that some Westerners definitely would be. It, particularly if they've never experienced it before and they've got nothing to relate to, and they come here having lived a very comfortable life with anything and everything they want at hand, to come here where less is available. It's simpler, it's more basic. That's not to criticize it anyway, it's just different. Then yeah, some people are going to be a bit like, whoa, I need to adapt and get used to this. If you've done it before, then it's not a shock. You can drop into it quite happily.
What have you really liked about this place? I think you kind of already went over that, but I don't know, you might have something else to add. And then what have you disliked about Sunseed?
Obviously the place, the location is very beautiful. It's very interesting to be in a dry climate and live appropriately. I really like hanging out with a group of people. Definitely community living is something I really like. I'm not a loner, so the idea of, you know, hanging out on my own somewhere doesn't appeal to me. So to come to an eco-village where there's, you know, 20 to 30 people who are all interested in doing good work and having a fun time is ideal for me. You know, I really enjoy that. From a point of view of what I don't like here, it's very easy to criticize without full understanding of an area, of a situation, of a community. And I'm quite cynical generally of things. So I'm reeling myself back in a little bit as on my cynicism. Because anywhere can be improved, and I think that this place has its problems, but everywhere has its problems. Mm. And, you know, hopefully they'll be sorted out given time and maybe a bit of money here might help. You know, I think there's financial difficulties, et cetera, or whatever. And it creates a little bit of a limitation on the place. But otherwise, you know, the people are nice. The work is varied and interesting and not too hard. I've definitely worked much harder than this in other places. Nobody's cracking the whip, you know. And then the food, the company, yeah, it's all fairly good here. You know, this is what I was hoping from the places, what I was hoping to do this summer. And yeah, it's living up to it. Sunseed offered new things to learn and kind of gradually building up my skills in various things, predominantly eco-building and things. I'm very interested in that. Low-tech solutions to various things, be that in growing food or in how you build a compost toilet. A lot of the staff here seem like they know a hell of a lot about certain aspects of things, you know, like appropriate technology or growing or whatever, that they're pretty much experts in their field. So that is quite a luxury to have around, that, you know, if you've got a question, you just go to the right person and you'll probably get a good answer.
Chava Zagoni is one of those knowledgeable coordinators. He runs the appropriate technology department, and he told me some facts and figures about Sunseed's energy and water consumption.
I'm from Hungary, but I used to live in London for like 5 years before I came here. And I came here in March, a few months, yeah. I'm the appropriate technology coordinator, which means that I'm dealing with the systems regarding water, electricity, and solar cookers, and wind power, well, basically power generation and usage.
Can you tell me about how our consumption here at Sunseed compares to, for example, a family in England or in the US, an average-sized family?
Say that we are having a party and we are watching movies on a projector, and if we say that, you know, maybe we are 25 people, then our energy consumption is maximum 1 kilowatt hour a day. And just to compare this to like a typical British household consumes 15 kilowatt hours a day.
15?
So that means that we are, you know, using less than 10% for maybe 5-6 times as many people.
How do we do that?
Well, we don't waste anything, because one of the biggest problems, you know, where you have cheap available energy, is that you tend to waste energy. You leave lights on. You use appliances what you don't really need. Here, we have the most efficient lighting what we can afford, and only use laptop computers, which use much less than, you know, like desktop computers. We do many things by hand what many people, you know, use machines for. So, for example, we don't have a washing machine, which uses electricity, because we have a bicycle washing machine. Or we don't have a fridge, which, you know, obviously means some kind of problems, that we don't store food overnight, or we can't really like have fruit for more than like a few hours, basically, when it's really hot. But, you know, Sunseed has been managing for 25 years, so it is doable. It just needs a change in lifestyle and basically in people's attitudes to how we use energy.
And how do we get our energy here?
Now, most of our electricity is produced by photovoltaic panels. So we have solar panels on the roof. We have three systems for four houses. We also have a wind turbine, which is compensating for the cloudy days, because when it tends to be more windy when it's cloudy. So that's also a kind of demonstration of how hybrid systems work, how different generation techniques can balance each other. And also we have a micro hydro down here at the main house, and the solar energy is not enough to basically carry on working in the office after like 3-4 days of cloudy days.
What's a micro hydro?
A micro hydro is like a really small hydro turbine. So it's basically using the energy in the water, but on a really small scale, without like dams or anything. Mm-hmm. We just basically use the discharge at the very end of the irrigation line, where the water would go back to the river anyway. We channel that water and it goes through a small turbine with like, I think, 40 meters drop. So while it's getting back to the river, which it would anyway, it produces energy. So we can use it to recharge the batteries when the days are cloudy.
Can you tell a little about our water consumption and how that compares to an average family and why it's lower?
Last time they measured it, it was around 320 liters per day for the whole of Sanseed, which if you divide it per person is maybe between 10 and 20 liters, which is one or two flushes of toilet. So, yeah, it's significantly lower.
Can you tell about a few of the things that we do to reduce our water use?
We promote 3-minute showers, which means that you don't necessarily have to have fun under the shower when you don't have enough water to use, because, you know, you can enjoy water in many other places. So it's solely for like cleaning yourself. And dishwashing is very important because we have 3 bowls.
The 3-bowl system is very simple. The first big bowl of soapy water is for removing grease and pieces of food. The second bowl of soapy water is for making sure the plates are really clean, and the last bowl has clean water for rinsing. You can change the water whenever it gets dirty, and it uses much less water than washing dishes under running water and much less than a dishwasher.
And we even recycle that water, so we put the last two on plants. Because using biodegradable soap, you can basically put the washing up water on your garden without any problems.
Can you describe the solar cookers that we use?
We use solar hot water. So if it's sunny enough, then all our hot water comes from solar power, straight into the kitchen. And by the solar cookers, we can reduce the amount of gas we use for cooking. But I think most significantly for heating water, for either tea or for disinfection. So we carried out a test, and if we preheat a kettle with solar power, then we need 3 minutes to get it to boil, while if we start heating it without preheating, basically just put a kettle on with cold water, it's 15 minutes. So that's maybe saving 70, let's say between 60 and 80% of gas.
Is there anything I've forgotten to ask about the energy use here that you want to add?
I think most important aspect of energy use, apart from thinking differently, is basically how the users behave. So, for example, we could have the most efficient lights or everything can be solar generated, but still the attitude has to change. So everybody has to understand that we have to use energy efficiently because there is no alternative to this what we have, so we are not connected to the grid. So if we run out of power during the day, then we just have to like stop using it at all. So I think that's very important for people to know and adapt and behave in a very energy conscious way.
Thank you so much.
I think the most important for me is, well, in a personal point of view, it's a good time for me to know better who I am and what I want. The thing that I really enjoy here is to feel more connected to, because I think that we heard a lot about economic crises and social crises, but yeah, we need that. We need to feel more connected with our brothers and sisters, and to feel more connected with the earth. And I'm learning that here, so it's perfect.
The Sunseed Desert Project website is www.sunseed.org.uk. Find the Wandering Nature podcast in iTunes or stream episodes from the website. There you can also see slideshows with photos and audio from Ecuador, Chile, Panama, and Spain, and you can read the blog, get in touch, and more. That's at wanderingnature.com. This project is made possible by a Thomas J. Watson Fellowship, which provides funding to recent college graduates to pursue a year of independent, non-academic study abroad. Wandering Nature is produced by myself, with help on this episode from Sarah Bedford, Tanya Doles, Lucie Alain, and Courtney Piel. The theme music is by James Boudreau, and in this episode we also heard from Dino Marino, Michael Chapman, and James Boudreau again. You can legally download all the music used in this podcast from the freemusicarchive.org, and there are links to each episode's songs at wanderingnature.com.